Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
So we are in our summer series. We've been talking through the book of 1 John, and we're going to dive into the entirety of the text again this morning. We've called our series, Are You Sure? And the intention behind that is that there's a multitude of times throughout the book or the letter of 1 John where he presents some significant truth to us, and he's trying to help us answer those types of questions. Am I sure? Am I reminded who God is? Am I sure I know who I am? Do I know what truth is? And John's attempt as he is writing this letter is to help God's people, you, the church of who he's writing to, God's people, be encouraged and reminded of what those truths are. To be able to say, yes, I am sure. Or, you know what, I'm not. I'm not sure. What do I do with that? So we're in 1 John. The first week, as John started out his letter, he talked about who the real Jesus is, the Messiah. He reminded them of who it was. Last week, we talked a little bit about joy, which is the result of living and following Jesus. And today, we get to talk about trust. Today, we get to talk about trust. And we're going to go at it a little bit differently. And we're going to look specifically at the entire letter of John. And we're going to be answering our question from chapter 2 and 3. We're going to look at the whole letter. And we're going to pull our answer to our question from chapter 2 and 3. And so as you think through this, here's your question for today that I want you to wrestle with. Okay, not just go, yes, I know the answer. And if you are, you're like, yep, I know it. I'm going to challenge that and just say, are you sure that you're sure? And so the question is, how can you know that you trust God? How do I know that I trust God is our question. Now we're going to look at our answer because lots of us like the answer. Just give me the answer. What's the question? Give me the answer. And then explain why the answer is the answer. For some of us, we're going to give you that. We're going to go through the text backwards, going to ask the question, give you the answer. And then we're also going to take a journey through the Word, which is what I believe God's intent is for you to discover truth in your life, is to go on a journey. Your life is the way in which you understand who God is and who you are. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a check the box. So this morning, as we dive in, we're thinking about truth. What we're really talking about is in the question of, are you sure? Are you sure you know who you are? Are you sure you know what church is? Are you sure you know who the God that you claim to follow is? Are you sure you know why you do what you do? Are you sure? That's very provocative on purpose. And I'm going to tie the answer to that question to the question, which is, are you sure, or how do you know that you trust God? Should you? Do you? What does that look like? Who's ready for that? Me. Yes, you are too. Here we go. So here's our question. How do I know that I trust God? 1 John chapter 2 gives you the answer. And the answer is this. You can know that you're trusting God when you obey what he says. Answer. There it is. Who's ready to go home? None of you. Perfect. Okay? John says that you can know that you know God. You can know that you're trusting him when you are obeying his commands, when you're doing what he says, when you follow what he says. And the response of that obedience, that action, is always, 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 always going to be love. Every time. Now, some of you are like, I really like the love part. Love wins. Love, 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 love. And I'm not going to pay attention to anything else. Sorry. Some of you are like, I really love rules. I love rules. I love doing this and I love doing that. I love checking boxes. I don't really like this love thing. I'm going to do stuff. And my value comes from doing things and making things and producing stuff. And so just tell me the things to do and then I'm just going to do the things and then that's going to be what God has for me. That's not true either. So what John is going to tell us through the entirety of his letter is why, which is what I want to talk about, which is what I hope that you're constantly curious about in your life is why. Why should I trust God? Do I trust God? Why do I do what I do? Why does he say to be obedient? Why does he say all the things that he says? That's what we get to look at. So let's look at 1 John chapter 2. This is how we know that we're trusting God. And then we're going to talk about why. We're going to go reverse order. 1 John 2, 3 to 14 says, "We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a," what? Liar. We're a liar. Liar. We don't like that part. Liar. He says, "And the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them." See, that's where his answer is. That's the what. Obedience to God is knowing him and loving him. And not doing that, claiming that, he says, if you're a liar. This is how we know the truth are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. It's a description of the what, of the how. Live as Jesus did. Other text says, walk as Jesus walked. How did he walk? What did he say? What did he think? How did he feel? Who did he trust? What was true? Those that claim to be in the light to walk as Jesus walked is what he tells us to do. So it says, "Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one which you have heard since," or had since the beginning. The beginning when? Good question. The beginning, at the very beginning. "The old command is this message you have heard, yet I'm writing a new command. It's the truth seen in him and in you, because darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or a sister is still in the darkness." Still in the darkness. "Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light. There's nothing in them to make them stumble." Ends it with this, "But anyone who hates a brother or a sister is in the darkness, and they walk around in the darkness. They don't know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them." So that's the quick what answer for those of us that are just looking for the formula, right? How do we know we can trust God? It's because we're doing what he asks us to do. What he asks us to do always results in love. So that's kind of like the end of the sentence. That's kind of like the period of the point, right? But I think what John is trying to convey, and what I'm convinced is what God is always trying to tell us, is that it's the journey through the story that helps us understand the point, okay? It's the journey along the way, the discovery piece of what is true, of which helps us understand and embrace the point. Who likes movies? We like movies. I like movies. What do you like about movies? Is it just like the one specific point of the movie, like where the thing happens, like the main thing happens that, quite frankly, you probably already know is going to happen before you watch the movie? Like, oh, he gets the girl. Oh, they win the game. Oh, the guy wins. Like, pretty much you could watch the movie and go, I'm pretty sure that was going to happen. Is that why you watch it? Why don't you just watch like 3 minutes of the movie? Just go to that point, fast forward to it and go, ah, man, this is great. Why don't we do that? Yeah, come on, right? We do that because what we love actually is the development of the story, understanding the characters, knowing the situations that they go through, that they've been in, what they overcome, what they have victory in, the things that are just completely unfair, the stuff that makes no sense, right? And then if you're going to be honest before each other, you'll go, the reason why you love it and you see it is because you actually see yourself in the story. And you go, oh my gosh, I know what that's like. Oh, I felt that. Oh man, when they have victory, I really want victory. I don't have victory. Oh man, that's unfair. Man, I've been treated unfair. You find yourself in the story, which makes the point when the thing that you know is going to happen happens actually worth it, right? See, I don't think that God's word is like movies or stories. I think that movies or stories is like God's word. That the entirety from the beginning to the end is a story, and it's a journey of development of people, of who God is, of him revealing truth to us, showing us who we are and who he really is. And guys, if you miss the entirety of the story, you're going to miss the whole point of the movie. And here's what's amazing is that the entirety of God's word is that way. If you catch anything from me this morning, it would be the challenge for you to really answer this question. Are you really sure that you know what God's word is like? Are you sure that you've looked at it? Are you sure that you've read it? Are you sure that you've wrestled with it and thought through it and looked through the pieces of it that are really speaking to who you are in your life? Or you just kind of rapid fire through and pull out the little verses and go, yeah, that's the thing, and then move on and wonder why it doesn't do anything in your life? Are you looking for the journey? We get to practice that today. And so here's, the point has been given. You can put that in your pocket. Now we get to go on the journey together. For so a lot of you in here, you might go, okay, cool. Now tune in. You have the point. Let's tune in. The question is about trust today. John has already told us that when we choose to trust and know, we'll do what God says. But today, we're going to talk about why. Or for you, why not? Why or why not? So quickly, I want to do just a brief overview of the text to help us understand context from the text so that it makes sense for you. We're going to look at the elements of the movie, if you will, to see what God is trying to show us about trust. So we're going to put a picture up here. This is a picture, is an outline of the letter of John. This is the first letter from John to the church. That's the actual Bible text that we're looking at. The context of this is that John is writing a letter to the church, right? He's writing a letter to the church, and he's writing to a predominantly Jewish culture, which matters because who he's writing to, he's wanting them to understand what he's saying. Do you agree that that's important? Okay. So the way in which he's writing this letter is in such a manner that they would understand how he's trying to communicate. Yes, the what, but the what only makes sense if you know the why and the how. Okay, go back to our movie. The why and the how and the development to get to the point matters, if not more, as much than the point. So John is writing his letter in such a way that they would understand how he's delivering truth. And here's the structure of the letter. We're not gonna dive deep into it today, but we're gonna give an overview. The format or the literary structure of this letter is called a chiasm. A chiasm literally means an intersection of two thoughts or two tracks. And the entire point of this literary structure is to point you towards the very center, is to point you towards the middle. When you see this up here, you're going to see that there's A at the top and at the bottom, B, B, C, C, D, D, E, and then F right in the center. Okay? Did you just see the structure up there? You see it? Okay? The A's mirror each other in this sort of a chiasm, which means the very beginning when John starts, he says Jesus is God and he is eternal life. That's the first verses of the first chapter. He ends the entire letter with what? The exact same thing. Jesus is God and he's eternal. Those are the bookends. Does that make sense? And then John goes through and he starts to tell the movie, you guys. He starts to tell the components of the story, which are going to be the main thing to get us to the point. The center point of his story, we're going to talk about in a second, the center point of the story must be understood in order for the rest of the pieces to make sense. You hear that? If you know what the centerpiece is, it's the lenses in which you understand the rest. The only way that you're going to understand the center is to understand the rest of the pieces. It's brilliant, right? And so culturally, the people that John was writing to know that he's writing in this sort of a style. So guess what you think that they were looking for? The center. What's the center? What's the middle of what he's trying to say? Because if we focus on the middle of what he's trying to say, we're going to understand all of the other pieces. And here's what's great about the journey, about your life, about the way that he writes, is what he says leading up to it makes the middle make so much more sense. And then he does the same thing coming right out of it. Remember, 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 remember. And so the audience would have been like, what's in the middle? What's he saying? What's in the center? Because once we have that centerpiece, then we're going to know what he meant, what he already told us. And we're going to know exactly what he's saying with what he's going to tell us again. They would have known that and expected that to happen. That's what they were looking for. I wonder what's in the center. Do you want to know what's in the center? Oh, yeah, that's really good. We'll do that next week. You already have the answer. I already gave you the answer today. How do you trust? Obey. That's it. Obey and love. Move on. Let's be done. No, 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 no. We want to see what's in the center. Do you want to know what's in the center? Here's what John says in the center. It's 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 through 11. And here's why we're looking at this again, right? We're going to look at what he says in the center, which is going to help us understand what he says on the front and back end, okay? Remember, the back of our minds, we're talking about trust. Wow, where are we going? We're talking about trust. Why is he talking about all these other things? Hang in there. You'll see. Here's the very center of the first letter of John, a point he's trying to make to help them see what he's trying to say. Here's what it is, chapter 3, verse 4. Verse 4, he says, everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning, and no one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them, and they cannot go on sinning because they've been born of God. Verse 10, this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor anyone who does not love their brother and their sister. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning. We are to love one another. Now, how many of you read that and go, I have no idea what he's talking about right now? Okay. Here's why that's absolutely normal, because we didn't go through the rest of the story yet, guys. We're just completely backwards on you today. We didn't go through the first chapter. We didn't go through the second chapter. We just punched it right in the center, which if you understand the center without the rest, that's nearly impossible. And so the point I'm trying to bring up right here is that the center drives the rest of it. And so here's what he says, very black and white, the very center of the story. There's a significant difference between right and wrong, light and dark, good and bad, sin and righteousness. The person that knows God, that trusts God, that is walking in the light, is the person that chooses to do what is right, that chooses to believe who God is to stay in the light. Pretty black and white. Do you see that? The person that doesn't do that chooses darkness. They're picking sin. They're choosing themselves. They're trusting in their own world. They're following what he says is the devil has been sin from the beginning. The beginning, the beginning, the beginning, the beginning. John is referencing the very beginning in creation. There's light and there's dark. Who made light and dark? God did. He's saying there's a difference. There's a difference. There's a difference. Now, if you just take that point, you're like, I just got punched in the neck. I don't like, how does that help me? Right? Well, the only way it helps you is if you look at the rest of the text. So John, let's put that picture back up there, if you would. So the very beginning is the difference between what is called sin and righteousness, light and dark, good and bad. We already said that how do we know we trust God is that we choose to do what? Walk in the light. We choose to not sin. We see that. But here's the beauty of where the story comes together. Guys, this is the good part, you guys. Oh, so good. John, at the beginning of his letter, is telling you all, you have a choice. You have a choice to choose to trust. You have a choice to choose Jesus. You have a choice to trust the Father. You have a choice. And here's how he starts it. He's speaking to them and he's speaking to you today. And he says, in the beginning was God. And this is what he says. He says, Jesus the Messiah came in the flesh. He's Lord. He's Savior. We've seen him. We've touched him. We know what we've seen. We know what he said. You guys remember, Jesus is who he says he is. And he's trying to remind you that if you choose to believe that that's true, you can overcome. That he is the great advocate, that he will be the one that will reconcile us back to the Father. That what he has done on the cross gives you the ability to choose what is true. You can say yes to God. It's going to be a challenge, but you can do it. That's how he starts the letter. Well, when you look at the middle, now you can go, okay, so there's a difference between sin and there's a difference between in between righteousness. There's light and there's dark. And now because John has already told us who Jesus is, you go, okay, I see that now. I see that now. And then he comes right off the heels of that and he says, those that choose to believe that that's true, they will walk in the light as he is in the light. They will have fellowship with one another. When you have fellowship with one another, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to purify you and make you righteous. Light and dark and righteous. He can do that for you. Oh, you've already said that, John. Yeah, I've already said that. Remember, that's what I said. And then he goes, hey, but let's be honest, right? Because we got to be honest with each other. If you claim to be without sin, you're a liar. So who's got to be perfect in here? Nobody. John says, choose light. So in the beginning, in the middle, he says, hey, choose not to sin. Choose not to sin. But when you do sin, guess what's going to happen? It's not over. I'm not quitting on you. You're not punted to the dark side of the devil. What I'm saying is I sent Jesus to you. Remember how I started the message? Because he's the one that forgives. He's the one that takes sin away. He's the one that is going to choose to say, choose me. He already told us that at the beginning. So when you hit it in the middle, you're like, oh, that's not so hard of a punch because I want to choose what's right. God offers me that. He invites me into that. And when I fall short, he actually has made a way out. That's why he sent his son, Jesus. And what's happening inside of you is what's happening inside of them. They're starting to see the fullness of the story. The characters are being developed. And so when God says, don't sin, now you're starting to know why. And he tells them, you start to move through chapter 2 and 3, and he goes, hey, there's going to be people that are going to try to push you off of that. They're going to be telling you, Jesus isn't who he says he is. Nope, he's not actually Messiah. Nope, you shouldn't follow God. Nope, God didn't really do that. And John's starting to tell them, and I'm telling you, be careful. There's going to be people that are going to push you off what you know is true. Even though they just told you, even though you've experienced it, watch out for the antichrist that are going to push you off. He's working his way towards the center. And then he says, hey, but remember, here's who you are in Christ Jesus. You have overcome the world. You can have victory in Christ. You can choose to step out of the darkness and be into the light. That's who God's people are. Be reminded who God is. Do you trust in who God is? Are you sure you know who God is? Or are you like somebody that just jumps to the center and goes, I'm bad, not good enough. I live in the dark. John's saying, don't do that. Don't do that. That's not what I'm saying. And he goes through to the very center and he says, here's the center. There's sin and there's righteousness. And then he does this really amazing thing. Oh, it's so good. Really amazing thing. We put verse 12 up there. So this is right after the very center of the story where John is like, choose, you can pick. Do you trust? Jesus has done it. Verse 12, I'm going to read 11 and then 12. Verse 11, I'm going to go 10 and then 12. He says, this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right and does not love their brother and sister is not of God. He says, for this is the message you've heard, love one another. And then here's the great part. Verse 12. He says, do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Who expects that to be right there? Why is that right there? Why is John talking about that? Why is he bringing it up? Are you sure you know? Why? God says, choose to trust. Who wants to know the story of Cain to help make that make sense? I do. Okay, let's talk about it. Why did John put it there? Why does God put things where he puts them in Scripture? Just cuz? No. Let's talk about it. Story of Cain. Okay? To help you understand, when you're asking yourself the question this morning in this really crazy long journey, you're like, I don't even know where he's going right now. It's okay. You will. Hang in there. Do you trust God? What does it look like to trust God? How do you know that you trust God? John says, remember the story of Cain. And as you remember the story of Cain, maybe you're going to remember the story of yourself. Maybe you're going to be reminded of who you are right now as you sit. To help you understand the development of the story will help you understand the point. The story of Cain, Genesis 4. Cain and Abel. Cain is the firstborn of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, if you remember from the beginning, John says in the beginning, in the beginning, in the beginning. In the beginning, God created all things, and they were good, and they were good, and they were good, and God is good, and Adam and Eve are good, and you are good, and God's plan is good. I'll keep going. It's good, and he did it with purpose. And Adam and Eve chose not to trust God, but in themselves. And we see that there's a reality to that story. And then Cain and Abel come along. Cain is the firstborn. Abel is his brother. Cain is the older. Cain is the one that would have responsibility. Cain would be the one to look out for his father, which would be Adam, the creation of all. Cain and Abel, they're both born. And we see that Cain and Abel, they bring an offering to God. Other times it's called a sacrifice. They're bringing an offering to God. Okay, buckle up right here. They're bringing whatever they have to God. They're bringing their life to God. They're bringing who they are to God. They're making an offering of, God, be pleased with what I have because of who you are. God, this is my life. This is my identity. God, I'm bringing it to you. And so these two young men, they bring an offering to God. And the word says that the younger brother Abel's offering was accepted. God was pleased with it. He welcomed it. yet the offering of what Cain had, he did not. It doesn't say why, but it said that he did not. And we see if we pick up the text that God therefore goes to Cain in his situation, and he asks him, why are you angry, and why is your face downcast? And he says these very specific words, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? And the word accepted there means lifted up, to rise, to be welcomed, valued, to know what is right. God says to Cain, if you do what is right, will that not be the result? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door, and its desire is to overtake you, and you must master it. Sin is crouching to overtake you, and you must master it. Why do I trust God? How do I know is when I choose to do what is right? God comes to Cain, God comes to you and says, do you not remember that if you do what is right, it will go well with you? But be reminded that what is waiting right next to you in every turn, in every relationship, in every opportunity, in every job, in everything you say and everything you do, that sin is crouching right next to you. It desires to overtake you, but you must control and master it. Now, let me ask you a couple questions. When God came to Cain, was God mad? Was God mad? No. God's not mad at you. God's not mad at you. When you bring your life's offering before God, when you're doing everything you can to choose to want to trust him, to do what is right, and you don't, he's not mad at you. Who was angry? Cain was angry. Cain was downcast. Cain was frustrated. But as a reminder for you today, which we do every week, which we try to do all the time with each other, to see who God really is, God, the God of love, the God of mercy, the God of peace, of purpose, of value, who is good for those that love him, will choose to believe what he has is good, to obey him. That God came to Cain. He comes to you when what you offer him is not to what God wants. He's not mad. He's not angry. He offers you exactly what he offers Cain. And he says, all you have to do is take the next step to do what is right, and it will go well with you. What will you do? In Cain in the story, who John says, do not be like Cain. Instead of trusting the goodness of God, instead of trusting the very next opportunity, the very grace and blessing of God the Father to say, what you have given you may think is good, but I have so much more that's better for you. If you will just trust me and take the next step to say, yes, it will go well with you. I will lift you up. You will have acceptance and purpose. And instead of trusting God, Cain trusted himself. And he trusted fear. And he trusted rejection, and he trusted failure, and he trusted not the goodness and not the truth of God. And he chose to not trust God, and instead, he murdered his brother. And so when you ask yourself the question this morning, are you sure that you trust God? Do you see what John is doing in God through the text when he says, don't be like Cain? For you this morning to be a person that says, I want to trust God and believe what he says is good, is to be a person who sits in their shortcoming and their failure before God, to look at the text and go, God is not mad at me. God is giving me a chance. He wants to restore me. He wants me to just choose to say yes to him, to believe what he has is true. And here's what that's going to take for me to not be Cain. I'm not going to trust in my fear. I'm not going to trust my failures. I'm not going to trust in my inadequacies. I'm not going to trust in that, because that's not who God says I am. That's not what he says of me. He's not mad at me. He says to him, what he says to you is just do the next right thing. Because I love you. I knew that you were going to fall short. I know that you're struggling. I know it's difficult. I don't know if it's a relationship. I don't know if it's finances. I don't know if it's personal. I don't know if it's mental. I don't know if it's physical. But whatever you look in front of you and say, it's not good enough. What I give to you, God, is not good enough. He says, yes, it is. If you'll just trust me. the amazing beauty of God's word that John is saying in a letter that comes from the very center of his story for you to think about today is, do I really trust God? Is where do you feel like you stand before him? Do you really know who he is? Do you think God is mad at you? Like Cain thought God was mad at him? Or do you see a God that invites you into what life is really about? Do you trust him? Are you willing to look at God's word and go, man, I might not understand it. It might not feel good about it. I might not be that good at it. But go, God, I'm going to trust you. Or do you find yourself in a season right now where you're like, I just don't know if I can. Welcome to the family, guys. What God has for us is good. His word is amazing. When you sit in your spot this morning, what I prayed at the beginning, I meant, what will you do with what you feel right now? You can do what Cain did and go, nope. Nope. Too hard. You don't know me. You don't know my story. You don't know my stuff. You don't know all the things I've been through, all the injustices, all the failures, all the problem. You don't know what he did. You don't know what she said. You don't. I don't. But God does. He absolutely does, as his invitation remains the same. Will you come and taste and see, and will you trust me? It's the story from the beginning. It's the same story today. It's the same story that John references, is that God is a God of love, and he wants you. He's pursuing you. His commands are good for you. And the recipe that he has for you to get there is what we offer as a church all the time. It's not perfect, but it's God's design, which is to walk and talk and live like Jesus did, which is in relationship, which is in trusting to the Father, which is honesty with a bunch of other broken yahoos like me that are needing each other to go, man, help me when I fall. And encourage me when I'm doing okay. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it in isolation. And here's the last thing from the story today, which somebody needs to hear, and maybe it's just me, and that's okay. After Cain kills his brother, God comes back to him, and he says, where's your brother? And Cain goes, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Guys, and here's the thing. He absolutely was. Even though God knew that Cain was going to make that decision, he chose him. You are what God has for you. He does have responsibility and purpose. Even in your brokenness, you are your brother's keeper. You are the child of the king. You do have purpose and value. Even when you mess up, God says, will you trust me to get back on the right path? Don't disqualify yourself, because God does not. But he does beg you and invite you to walk in the light as he is in the light, to have fellowship with one another, to get in a game, to join the team, to put on the jersey of the kingdom of heaven. Wow, how'd we get there? That's pretty good. Or not, you're very quiet. And here's why I hope. Man, I hope you're wrestling right now. I hope you're wrestling. I hope you're upside down. I hope you're like, I don't even know if I know anything about anything today. Perfect. What's your next step to trusting God? To finding out? To going on the journey and not just looking at the points?
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.